that. Thank you so much. We'll begin tonight on another lesson of prayer. And next week, of course, we'll hear from Miss Joyce Ashiro, and we may take a break from the prayer study, but we'll hear from her and we'll share something as well. But tonight, we're looking at 1 Chronicles chapter 4, the prayer of Jabez. If you've been watching Christian books for some years, you would know that a famous book was written here some years ago that named this, the prayer of Jabez. But pastors have been preaching on it for years and years before there, after that book had so many printings and so much exposure. I heard some preacher that most of us would know his name. He said, well, I was preaching on that years before that. Nobody ever wrote it in that, never put it in a book. So it's not anything new, but Bruce Wilkerson, somebody like that had written a book, The Prayer of Jabez, and was very popular. But as we look at this tonight, we've got verse number 10 as your text verse. We're going to look at verse number 9 as well, and then 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, which means sorrowful. That's the name. That's not in the scriptures, but the word Jabez means sorrowful, saying, because I bear him with sorrow, of course, is the origin of that. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. I think about this as we get started in tonight, and we look at the word that his name is, Jabez, again, meaning sorrowful. But then we look at the few wonderful truths that are before that, and then we'll get into the lesson here of the four. We just want to break down this verse and look at the phraseology of it. But we see the wonderful truths that begin here, because look in verse number 9. It says he was more honorable, but before that, at the end of the verse, but before that, the word of God says, she said, because I bear him with sorrow. But we already found out by the time he got older and got up in a living, he was more honorable than his brethren. And so I think a couple of life applications can be made from here. Number one, his life began with sorrow. We understand that. But also, though, just because his life began with sorrow doesn't mean he stayed that way. Do you know there's a lot of people who use what happens to them as an excuse of why they can't do something? And then there's other people who say, well, I'm going to do something regardless of the aspects that could be used as an excuse. So not only does his life begin with sorrow, but we find out that he doesn't let that define him, because at the end of verse number 9, he was more honorable. So the one that came in sorrow, who could have used that as something that was akin to an excuse, instead rises above and is more honorable or famous and known and well-equipped than his brethren. So we see that he doesn't let that define him. And that has to be because of the third little thought that I would give you, and that is this, that character outweighs circumstances. Because you can't handle, or you can't control, rather, the circumstances that sometimes come into your life. Sickness, illness, other illnesses, be that mental or physical or some other problem. You can't always control family problems. Sometimes they're brought on by our own bad choices. I get that, but oftentimes they're not. The bad breaks, if you will, in life that you have, you can do very little about those. But do you remember what your kindergarten teacher told you? If you had the same message that my kindergarten teacher told me, and that was, you can't control what they do, but you can control what you do back in reference to it. And that's the same it is in life. You don't get to choose whether something invades your body or not. You don't get to choose whether a job loss comes into your life. You don't get to choose whether a lot of things bad happen at one time. But you do get to choose how you respond. So this is just a little side note. This isn't really about the prayer of Jabez. But I just found it so interesting as I was getting ready for tonight. Here he is, somebody that was born with sorrow. And if you're not careful, what happens to you in the early part of your life, you can let it plague you for all of your life. And you can use it as an excuse. Well, you know, I'm not very good as the other guys, my brothers and whatnot. But here we find that Jabez rises above it and he's more honorable than his brethren. So now we get on to the lesson that I really wanted to give. I just thought those things were so interesting. As we tear apart verse number 10, Jabez called on the God of Israel. All right, it means he prayed. And this short little prayer we're going to look at tonight says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. There's nothing wrong for us begging God for his supernatural favor. For say, Lord, I want you to bless me. But there's something in us sometimes that says, that sounds kind of selfish. Well, it's only selfish if we're going to use it for things that aren't right. It's only selfish when we say, Lord, I pray that you'd bless me, if what I mean is I pray that you'd bless me so I can have everything I've ever wanted. I'm not going to worry about anything else. But most of the folks in here, we're family people. You've got somebody that counts on you. If you're not parents, you're grandparents. If you're not grandparents, you're aunts. If you're not aunts, you're uncles, you're friends. You've got some people that count on you. And so really, there's nothing at all wrong with you saying, Lord, I pray that you would bless this venture, because what I'll do with that is turn around and be a blessing to other people. You understand it's a whole lot easier to pray with fervency when you know what you're going to do with what God blesses you with. Now, if all you're going to do is just, as we looked at a Sunday morning not too long ago, tear down your barns, build bigger barns for yourself, then that's hard to pray a prayer like that. Say, Lord, give me more. Because more never comes. Because as soon as you get what you think more is today, or what you think today is more, then by the time that comes, then you'll want the more of the next day. So, oh, that thou wouldest bless me. And we ought to beg God for that supernatural favor. Say, Lord, I pray that you bless me. Nothing wrong with us praying. Lord, I pray that you keep my income up to where it needs to be, because my family is dependent on this. Lord, I pray that you keep my health up to where it's going to be. Nothing wrong with us praying, and very right with us praying. We're going on a trip. Lord, I pray that you keep us safe. I pray that you watch over us. I pray that you give us traveling mercies. And because we would like to get there, get back, so we'd go on. But remember this. One of the main reasons we pray is in this fashion, Lord, bless me indeed, is so that we can continue on knowing that as we continue on, we're doing the Lord's work. Say, Pastor, I'm not in the ministry. I'm not in the Lord's work. All of us are doing the Lord's work. We're supposed to be. We're supposed to be doing the Lord's work when we're at our job. We're supposed to be doing the Lord's work when we're at our family. We're supposed to be doing the Lord's work when we're with our friends and our neighbors. We're supposed to be representatives of the Lord. We are ambassadors for Christ. And so there's nothing wrong with us saying, Lord, I prayed you get me back from this trip because I've got more work to do, that thou mightest bless me. Praying, begging God for his supernatural favor. But what it also reminds us in this verse is we see that Jabez called upon the God of Israel. We ought to remember where our blessings come from. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, I want to read this to you. In Deuteronomy 9, verse number 6, we see that there's some things that God makes very clear, understand therefore, that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness. And Moses, he's rehearsing Israel's rebellion here. He says, you all been a rascals. I mean, I have to understand we've all been rascals. But in verse 6, he says, understand, it's not that God's given this land to possess it for thy righteousness because you've done so well. And he goes on, and just in case you didn't get the message, for thou art a stiff-necked people. Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord God to wrath in the wilderness, and goes down through here all that God that they've done to provoke the Lord to wrath in verse number 8. But he also rehearses to them that the blessings aren't because they were such good folks. And anytime you get to a place where you're starting thinking, man, God's really lucky to have me. Can I just remind you, you didn't bring anything to the table when you got in on the picture. God's not lucky to have you, and we're not lucky. We're very blessed and fortunate that he even cares about us. The Bible says we only love him because he first loved us. Say, oh, Pastor, I'm so dedicated to the Lord. I love him. You wouldn't know what love was if he hadn't loved you first. And so we don't even have that to offer up as something to be proud of. And so we understand that Jabez is teaching us that not only do you beg for that supernatural favor, but you remember that all of our blessings come from him. James chapter 1 says that every good and every perfect gift cometh down from above. We understand everything good comes from the Lord. So, oh, that thou wouldest bless me, back to our text, and bless me indeed. What does it say after this? Oh, that thou wouldest bless me and enlarge my coast. That just means my border or my territory. Just expand out what I've already got. And so we understand that he is asking God to enlarge his influence or his territory. We're asking him, letter A underneath there, enlarge my vision. Lord, let me see more for my children than I could ever see without you. There's some of the grandparents in this room that we've forgotten to pray for the salvation of our young people, for our grandchildren to be used of the Lord in some wonderful way, where we are praying piddly little prayers to do this, that, and the other. But instead, we should be praying for them to be used mightily of the Lord. Lord, enlarge my vision. And not only that, enlarge my influence. You and I have 1,440 minutes in a day. You've got to sleep some of those minutes. And so there's only so much that you can do in the time that you've got before you pass on to the next day, and you can only do so much. And so what Jabez is doing, I believe, here is he is, again, more honorable than his brethren. He's got some things going on. And his prayer is, Lord, enlarge my coast. Push out these borders a little bit so that I can do more. Because he realized he can only do what he could do. You've only got so many minutes in the day. You can't get it all accomplished. And I hope there's things that we're praying for people in our lives that are bigger than us. I'm looking at different people around Brett's family back there, and he's praying for his kids to do greater things than he can equip them to do. Think about my grandchildren now. We are praying that they would do more than we can help them do. Enlarge my vision, enlarge my influence. And so you and I can only do so much. We need God to magnify what we do. I've watched it time and time and time again here at our church. I'm the one person that gets the privilege of being the pastor, but I can only do so much. I have the same amount of minutes that you do, and I can only do so much. But there's a host of people around here that are doing things that some I don't even know about, that are doing things for the Lord's work. And sometimes people will come and they say, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And they'll name something. I had no idea what they're even talking about. We get thank you cards from different folks who are going through some season of life, maybe through the cancer ministry, that they've been blessed because of some of the outreach. We get thank yous from people who said you congratulated me on some appointment that they got set to, or whatever the case might be. I'm saying this evening that God has allowed the ministry of the church to grow much bigger than any one of us could do alone. And he's pushed out the borders. And what we're doing is asking, Lord, please push him out even further, because for this last home stretch between now and heaven, I want our church to do as much as we can to do exactly what Jabez is praying here. Enlarge our coast as we move on. Not only enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me. Point number three. And this is a very personal side of things that Jabez is asking the Lord, akin to Moses when he said, Lord, if you don't go with me, I don't want to carry us not up hence. I don't want to go if you're not going. He's asking God to push out his influence. And that's what all of us should be saying. Pastor, I don't have influence. All of us have influence. All of us do. It doesn't matter that you may be speaking to tens instead of hundreds, or you may be talking to hundreds instead of thousands, or you may be, who knows? But all of us are influencing people. You know, there's a big category of people now that want to be social media influencers, and young people in school are saying, that's what I want to do for a living. I want to make all my money just being an influencer. Well, I don't know about all that, but I do know that all of us influence people. And so we ought to be asking God, Lord, help me to make a bigger influence or an impact on people than what I can personally do. Ask God to bring people into your life that you can show them the gospel. Ask God this week to bring people into your life that are down and out and hurting and that need somebody that can be there for them. So understand that we're asking God to enlarge that coast, push it out. But at the very same time, as we're asking God to push out that coast, enlarge that territory, push out those borders so I can do more for you. But as he asks that, look what else he asks, that thy hand might be with me. Because if all we do is get a bigger territory and we don't have the strengthening of the Lord to go with it, we're setting ourselves up for failure. If all we're doing is increasing our workload, increasing the influence, and increasing the pressure without having the Lord's hand be with me, then we are setting ourselves up for a lot of heartache. We ought to seek God's divine power. It probably took me a long time in my Christian life to figure out that there really was something, and there is, really is something to God strengthening us. I think for a long time I just thought that, well, you just suck it up and go on. But there really is something, because I've watched too many people, and I've done it myself now as well, watch too many people who told me, say, Pastor, I can feel the prayers of people. And what they were saying was, God helped. And that's what Jabez is praying, for the divine power of God to come and help. You remember the little story that the boy that was scared when storms would come, and he hollered into his dad and said, Dad, would you come here and sleep in here? Would you come here? He said, no. He said, I can't. You'll be fine. Then the thunder cracked again. He said, Dad, would you come in here? And he said, son, you're fine. Jesus is with you in there. God's going to take care of you. God's with you. Well, it cracked the next time that thunder did. He said, Dad, would you come here? He said the same thing. The Lord's with you. He said, yes. Yes, Dad, but I want somebody with skin on them. Meaning that was what made him feel secure. Well, as Christians, we walk by faith and not by sight, so the illustration breaks down there, but we need the Lord's help with us as well. Because the thunder is going to crack in your life and the lightning is going to flash, and that's not a positive, that's a negative. He's going to get scared, and so we need God's divine power. And really, Jabez is saying that our ability, as I told you, that I used to think you just suck it up and go on, our efforts and our abilities aren't sufficient without the Lord's help. That thy hand might be with me. And I think that where we get off track, no, I know where we get off track, is we get so used to doing something, being a parent, being a pastor, being a leader, wherever you are, being a boss, being a whatever. We get so used to doing it, and it's routine to us, that after we've done it for so long, do you remember what it was like to start that first job? When you first start, it's like, well, if you were saying, Lord, you got to help me. I need your help. I need your strength. I don't know what to tell these folks. And all of this stuff is like coming in here to the church 7 years ago or so. Well, Lord, you're just going to have to help me. You have to do all this. But the danger of after you do things for a while, you think you know what you're doing. And so then it's not the first day anymore. It's the 101st day or 1,001st day. And you don't say this. You wouldn't say, be so arrogant. Say, well, Lord, I don't need your help today. But we act that way. We used to pray, Lord, please, please, please. And now I say, yeah, Lord, help me, I guess. And so we understand that our efforts are not sufficient. That's at least what Jabez realized. Not sufficient for the results that he wanted. I want this enlarged coast, and I want this territory to be expanded. But if that's going to happen, Lord, you're going to have to help me. You're going to have to let your hand be with me. Number four, that thou mightest keep me, that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest rather keep me from evil. As somebody is pushing out the boundaries and trying to expand their territory, for instance, somebody in this room that's trying to raise a daughter, a son, I want them to do all that they can do for the Lord. May we have big visions for our children. Doesn't matter. We don't call the shots and say, I want them to do this or I want them to do that. We want them to do whatever God wants them to do. But I don't want my children or grandchildren to be limited by my short vision. And so as we're asking to expand that territory, then Jabez is now asking God to say, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. There's a lot of reasons for that, because where as you get your territory expanded, and we've heard about it in recent days, about people that we thought were expanding territory, but their lives didn't match with what they were trying to do, said they were trying to do, and so they weren't kept from evil, and so that cripples the work that they were supposed to be doing in their life for God. And he says, God, would you keep me from evil, akin to the model prayer, Lord's prayer, deliver us from evil, over in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 13. We ought to ask God to keep us from tempting situations. Because the further you go as a parent, a grandparent, a leader, a pastor, a teacher, whoever, then you get more influence. And that only means that Satan attacks you more. And we ought to pray, Lord, deliver us from evil as the Lord taught us to. But I want you to look on in the verse again. And I didn't really catch this for a long time as I would read through this verse. I saw it because I read it, but I didn't really let it all sink in on me. That thou wouldest keep me from evil, we just finished that. But look at the very next phrase, that it may not grieve me. I think for the longest time I just read that it wouldn't grieve you. It's never been that, but I just think that's what I kind of put in there. Lord, keep me from evil, that it might not grieve you. Because that's a true statement. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. That's a very true doctrine. Grieve God. But evil is grievous to both us and God. But in this particular place, in this passage, that it might not grieve me. And I believe that the teaching would be that Jabez should have, could have, and was, I guess, close to the Lord and realizing that if I fall into, I don't even know if fall is the right word, if I wade, jump, walk into sin. People talk about falling into sin. I don't know if you fall, that makes it sound like it's an accident. I just walk out, wade out in there, whatever you do. But if I go do that, then Lord, that's going to grieve me. Well, the only way it grieves me is if I love the Lord so much that I hate what he hates and I love what he loves. And that's why I think that God puts it in the order that he did, that thy hand might be with me. Because me, your pastor, I have known what it's like to walk with the Lord. I've also known what it's like to be backslidden, you know, and not be too interested in what God's doing. Unfortunately, we all have walked that way sometimes in our lives as well. But I've known what it's like to walk with the Lord. And it's a wonderful thing as I stand here tonight. As far as I know, there's nothing between me and the Lord. And it's a wonderful spot to be in. But if I did get out into sin, yes, grieve the Lord, but grieve me. And so evil is grievous to both us, both God rather, and us. As we're thinking about this though, on a very practical basis, let me tell you one thing that God brought to mind as I was trying to get ready for tonight, where he says, ask God to keep you from tempting situations where he says that my hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil. I believe it's very wise, and I do pray that God would help me to respond correctly when things happen. I always say that I always have the right response to when bad things happen. I just don't have it soon enough. Somebody comes to you and they tell you something and they're a jerk or whatever, you know, whatever, and they say something unkind to you. I always have the right response, but it's usually about 5 minutes later when I'm walking away. I say, I should have just said that. But what did I say instead? I gave it right back to them. I'm pretty quick. I smart them right back off. What I shouldn't have done. So I have to be careful, and I pray and ask the Lord to help me not to answer in kind when somebody's acting like that. My girls say that I have a mean resting face when I sit here on the platform. I say, Dad, you look mad. I said, well, I'm not. Some people have a very pleasant looking face. You know, as they sit there, they look like they're in a good mood, and I don't always do that. But sometimes it's not just my face. If somebody catches you at the wrong time, you do respond incorrectly. And we ought to be praying, say, Lord, help me not to do that, especially if you have children, grandchildren, or people who are looking up to you in some fashion. We all know what it's like to walk on eggshells around people because they're just quick to lash out. Well, that's on a very practical basis. That's not what Jabez is talking about. But I don't think it's incorrect to apply it in that way. Keep me from evil. Lord, I want my territory pushed out. I want my kids, I want my employees, I want my nieces, I want the people at my workplace. I want to do more for you than is what naturally on my docket. If you knew the little place that I came from, some of you have been there, then you would say, wow, there not much would be expected of you. I was telling my sister about what we're looking at doing with the building and all that. She said, well, who would have thought that a boy from Cal Run would be talking about spending that much money, you know? And I said, well, yeah. And it does humble me very much to think about that. Well, whether we ever built a building or not, I'm amazed at what goes on for this church, and I'm privileged to get to be the pastor of it, but it's way beyond what I can do. And I believe that I want to be praying more like this, and I believe that you ought to be praying more like this as well. And we'll close with the ending phrase at the verse number 10, and God granted him that which he requested. You know, it was a pretty good day in my life when I realized that God wants to hear and answer our prayers. Sometimes we act like we've got to convince God to be good to us. Now, sometimes he doesn't always answer yes the way we want because he knows the beginning from the end and knows all things, but he loves us and he joys in answering our prayers. We have not because we ask not. And he says, call unto me, I'll answer thee, show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And so here to Jabez, he says, and God granted it. And so tonight I just want to probably end this study on prayer. We may have another one or two, but we'll see. But about this, prayer of Jabez. And so I would leave you with this. Are you praying for anything to be pushed out? Lord, let me do a little bit more. Let me affect just a little bit more people. Let me be a little bit more of an impact on people. Father, I pray that you bless us. I thank you for this wonderful example of prayer of Jabez. And Lord, I pray as we've just tried to tear the verse apart that something has resonated with us. And Lord, I pray that everybody goes out of this room a little different than they came in. And would you make us those prayers of great things like Jabez was? Lord, may we not settle for the status quo in our spiritual life. May we push forward to try to reach more folks with the gospel, more folks with the help of true Christianity. Help us, I pray. We'll certainly thank you. As the ladies begin to play, if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe God's just really worked over you. And you know that
he has worked on your heart to push out those borders and pray for you. Thank you.
you come tonight